11. An insider's look. Many times if you want to really understand how something operates, maybe how a company runs, if you can meet somebody that's been in that company, that's worked in that company, that knows what's going on, it can give you a better perspective of what's happening. You know, you might think you know what, you know, maybe how the White House operates. But if you can meet somebody that actually works, you know, with the president or works the inside happenings, it can give you a better understanding of what is going on. This week, Mrs. Bird gave some missionary stories, and it really helped to give a perspective on what was going on. You know, somebody could know about Adoniram Judson, that many people were saved, that churches were started, but not really understand all that went, all that took place in Adoniram Judson's life, maybe behind the scenes. You know, being in prison, losing, you know, his first wife died, and his second wife died, losing children, and many hardships that took place in his life. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we see an insider's look into the ministry. And I think there's three things here that can give us valuable insights into the ministry and challenge us. Two of these points can challenge us in our level of dedication to the Lord. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, we find him defending his authority as an apostle. His authority in the Corinthian church was being challenged. And so he begins to defend himself. He felt constrained to. This is not something he wanted to do, to come out and say, really give a defense of himself. But he felt constrained to do so. And it says in verse number 16, it says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. And so he didn't want people to think of him as a fool because he had to boast or he had to talk of some of the things that he went through that showed that he was a true servant of God. But he says, if you see me as a fool, well then even as a fool, receive me. Then verse 17, he says, that which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. And so he says, that which I speak it not after the Lord. All right, he's not saying that this part now that I'm going to write is not inspired writing. But if back in chapter 10 and verse number 1, he says, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Well, here, the boasting maybe that he was going to have to do is not something he wanted to do. It's not something, you know, that even you would, you know, think of the Lord boasting, you know, of who he was. All right? But it's something that he felt here constrained that he needed to do. Anything that he was going to do of, you know, that maybe they would think of as foolish was not something that he would want them necessarily associated with the Lord. But it says, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. It says, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. And we see actually as we come in here, we see some sarcasm that the Apostle Paul is using in seeking to communicate his message. He says, for ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. Now, is he really saying that the Corinthians are wise here? Well, no, he's being sarcastic with them. You know, you're allowing fools gladly because, you know, you are so wise. And you're letting these, you know, people doing what they're doing. Well, actually, they weren't being wise in allowing these people to come in. But he's being somewhat sarcastic with them. He says, for ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, or if a man devour you, if a man take of you, or for ye suffer, the idea of permitting this person, allowing this person to come in, if they bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. All right, he's kind of communicating here what these the false people here that had come into the church, what they were actually doing to the Corinthian believers. And he's saying, here, you're going to allow these kind of people. Then he says in verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And notice how you can just see it in his heart. He doesn't want to come across as though he's boasting or bragging, but he feels constrained to bring out the qualifications that he has here. He says, I am more. And then he goes into a great list here of things that he went through for the name of Christ. He says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And here we're finding an inside look into the ministry, into the life of the Apostle Paul. And not all of these things, some of these things are not recorded in the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul is even giving some greater list of things that took place in his life beyond even some of the things recorded in the book of Acts. It says, thrice was I beaten with rods, verse 25, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He faced great danger, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, spent many nights without sleep, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. There was many times that he went without food. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. There was a great burden that the Apostle Paul was carrying. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? He was carrying even the burden of those that he was ministering to. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed, or verse 30, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Now, if you could find out, boy, if you knew of somebody that saw many churches started, that saw many people saved, that saw, you know, great things happen, you might wonder, boy, what has gone on in this person's life? Well, here we get some insights into what took place in the Apostle Paul's life. The Apostle Paul went through great dangers. He suffered. There were many things that he went through in his quest to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And one thing that we find here about the ministry is that it is the place of attack. Here in this book, the Apostle Paul is under what? He is under attack. He was fighting for the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that, Satan was seeking to undermine his authority. And he was under the, you know, here he talks about Satan, these false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And if you are in the place of ministry, it is the place of attack. Now, we don't have to necessarily sit there and fear the attack. God has given us the spiritual armor to face the attack that we are under. But the Apostle Paul, we find he was in the place of attack. And here he's under attack, having to defend himself in the position that God had put him in. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came not to be ministered unto, but to what? But to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He was in the place of attack. I mean, his care and concern for the poor was attacked. You know, why couldn't this money have been given to the poor? His qualifications were attacked. You know, instead of attributing what he had done to God, they wanted to attribute to what he had done to what? To Beelzebub. He was physically attacked when he was nailed to the cross. And our Lord Jesus Christ came to minister, had committed no wrong, had committed no sin, but yet he was in the what? The place of ministry was the place of attack. And he was under attack. He was under the attack of the religious leaders. He was under great attack. And the Apostle Paul, as he walked in the steps of Christ himself, was also under the place of attack. You know, notice that this view, this boasting, so to speak, if you want to put it that way, that the Apostle Paul did, this was not something that he just wanted to do. You know, go around and proclaim all these things that he had gone through for the name of Christ. This was like his last resort that he came through. I mean, see, that he went through this whole list of details, you wonder if the Corinthian church did not know some of these details of the Apostle Paul's life, that he wrote them down and gave them this great list. You wonder if they didn't even maybe understand, showing that, I mean, we don't necessarily know this information, that the Apostle Paul didn't even talk, so to speak, about all these things that he had gone through. The Apostle Paul was not a proud person seeking to proclaim how great he was. I mean, you see it over and over about how he views this as foolishness, this what he was saying. And you wonder tonight, we need to be so careful that we do not allow the wrong people to come into our lives, that the people that have ministered to us have to feel foolish in defending themselves and proclaiming who they are. And so the Apostle Paul was under attack at Corinth. Probably his character, his concern, his authority under attack. You know, if you are going to get involved in ministry, expect that attacks are going to come. You might say, well, if the place of ministry is the place of attack, why not forget about it? You know, let's just go, you know, do our own thing. Well, it's interesting here, the Corinthian believers, as they forsook the place that God had for them, as they began to follow after these people that were attacking the Apostle Paul, what did the Apostle Paul say was going on in their lives? Verse number 20. He says, "For ye suffer, ye allow, ye permit, if a man bring you into bondage." And so now he's declaring what's truly happening in their life. You know, the place of ministry is the place of watching people make foolish decisions. You know, if you've been in the ministry for any length of time, you've probably seen many people make some foolish decisions. And here the Apostle Paul is saying, for you're permitting if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. And here he's declaring really what these people are doing to these believers. They are bringing them into bondage. You know, you can say, well, you know, I'm sure many, you know, there's probably been many people that have, you know, attacked this church or made accusations about this church about, boy, you come to this church and you're just going to have to, I mean, you're going to be under some legalistic system or some just bondage. I mean, you're going to have to do this, 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 and this. You're not going to have any freedom. You wonder with the Apostle Paul, how often people accused him. You know, you follow the Apostle Paul and boy, you better, you know, be careful everything you do. But notice what he says about these people. You're going to be brought into bondage. These people are bringing you into bondage. You know, in Romans it says, you become the servant of what? Of whom you yield yourself servants to obey. You know, whether it's under righteousness or whether it's sin, whose servant are you going to be tonight? You know, you can turn from the right way. You can turn from the place that God has for you. You can turn from maybe the biblical authority that God has placed in your life, but you are going to put yourself under somebody. You're going to become somebody's servant. You are going to be put into bondage. You know, the devil's not going to want you to think that. The devil's going to want you to think that, boy, my life's going to become free. I'm going to get out from under all these restrictions, under all these things that have been placed over me, and my life's going to be great. Well, guess what? You're opening yourself up to bondage. You're going to have a whole new set of rules. You're going to have a whole new set of things that you're going to have to live under and obey. You're going to have a whole new set of opinions, so to speak, that you're going to have to follow. You know, if you don't fit into this crowd, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to dress a certain way. You're going to have to talk a certain way. You're going to have to act a certain way. You're going to have to make sure that you don't report certain details. You're going to have a whole standard that you're going to have to live by. And the Apostle Paul says, you allow these people to bring you into bondage when there's what? There's freedom with Christ. There's the freedom to do right. It's not a system of bondage. If a man devour you, you know, here these people were eating up the resources of the Corinthian believers. They were taking, it says, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself. Here these people were exalting themselves, you know, in the midst of the Corinthian believers. And yet the Corinthian believers were following right after them. If a man smite you on the face, and here in a sense this idea, you know, if somebody would smite you on the face, well, that would be a very what? Well, a very, you know, humbling experience for somebody to smite you on the face. And so in a sense, these people were humbling the Corinthian believers, and the Corinthian believers were allowing it. And in a sense, it seems, you know, ironic, because it's probably some of the same things that, it could have been some of the same things that these people could have been throwing at maybe the Apostle Paul or other spiritual leaders. You can see how people would use these same kind of accusations against spiritual leaders. That they're just bringing you into bondage. You got to live by this rule, this rule. Oh, they're just trying to take your money from you. Man, they're just interested in getting your money. You know, a man exalts, boy, they're just trying to make a name for themselves. Well, this is what those that are false leaders are seeking to do. You know, the ministry many times can be a place of watching people make foolish decisions. You know, Jonah ran from God. He ran away from the presence of God. And what did he find out? Well, he found out how terrible it was to be away from the presence of the Lord when he was in the belly of that great fish. You know, tonight you can run from God. You may want to run away from what God has for you. But you get away from the presence of God, and you are running from what? The very one that can only provide anything that is good in your life. And the Corinthian believers were choosing a foolish pathway for their lives. You know, tonight, young person, you know, what pathway have you chosen for your life? You may think, boy, it looks so great out there. Just think of what I could do. You know, your flesh is beginning to pull you, and your passions are beginning to be stirred up within you. And you think that, man, boy, if I could just go out and do these things. And you don't realize it's going to bring you into bondage. It's going to devour you. Your time, your talents, your resources are going to be wasted because you made a foolish decision that you thought was going to bring you freedom, when it, in actuality, it was going to bring great bondage to your life. It's going to bring you into slavery, into paupery. It's going to steal your time, your talents, your abilities from your life. And it's going to bring you in the place of mockery where you are ashamed. But as we come to this last section, we find a great section in great insight into the Apostle Paul's life, into the ministry that he faced. We find that it was a place of enduring hardships. There were physical hardships, there were spiritual hardships that the Apostle Paul faced. In 2 Timothy, Paul reminded Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, endure what? Hardness, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And tonight, it was great, you know, the week of VBS and the great joy that was experienced. You know, there's going to be, in the ministry, there's going to be great joy. And the devil, you know, there's going to be some hardship that's going to come in. The devil's going to try to use that to what? To discourage us from going forward. But in many times those great hardships, God wants to use them to what? To bring us greater joy in our lives. And that's when we have to really what? Make the decision to walk by faith instead of walking by sight. And as we look at some of these things that the Apostle Paul went through, he says, in labors more abundant. Notice the great work that went into the great results that took place in his ministry. In labors more abundant. This wasn't just, boy, all these things, you know, were just handed to him. You know, we'd like to think, boy, we could just, you know, go out and all of a sudden, you know, your first night on soul winning, it might happen. You might see, God can bless and you can see someone saved. But, you know, it'd be great, boy, your first night and 10 people get saved. And all, you know, but what does the Apostle Paul say? In labors more abundant. There was abundant labor in the Apostle Paul's life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse number 8, he says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." We find that there was great labor, great effort that went into the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He labored night and day. He says, in labors more abundant. He says, in stripes above measure. Imagine that, in stripes above measure, being struck with an instrument, or being struck with a whip. He says, above measure. We can be thankful in this day and age that we don't have to experience that. You know, but if we did experience that, what would we do? How would we respond to it when we face some sort of hardship like that? He says, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. There were many different hardships that the Apostle Paul faced. You know, what's going to happen in this country when there is imprisonment faced for living for Christ? You know, how many of us are going to still stay faithful? He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now, in the Old Testament, 40 stripes was the maximum number of stripes that could be given, that could be inflicted. And so the Jews would do 39. In case they miscounted, they wouldn't go over the limit. So 5 times, he says, received I 40 stripes, save one. You know, this probably wasn't a little, you know, spanking paddle that the Apostle Paul was receiving. But these were some, this was some major beating that he was receiving. He says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. You know, here he is, left for dead. And what does he do? He gets right back up and goes back and serves God. You know, maybe you're going out on door-to-door soul winning and somebody slams the door in your face. Maybe it's your first house. Or maybe you've gone on for a few houses and bam, that door gets slammed. Somebody's really mad at you. What's the fleshly response when somebody, what's kind of your response when something like that happens? I mean, unless you're one of those people that just loves a fight. But what's your natural response? Your natural, boy, I don't know about this, you know, and you just kind of want to, maybe it fizzles you out a little bit. You know, I remember one time, I've told the story before, but going in Maquanago, and it was around dusk time. I think it might have been around 8 o'clock or something. And we knocked on the door, and I think I was in junior high at the time. And anyways, we knocked on the door, and a man came to the door, and he was not happy to see us. I think he kind of flung open the door. I think he had his robe on, and you know, he's like, "Don't you know that people sleep at night? If you come back here again, I'm going to shoot you." And he was, you know, that kind of shook me up a little bit. Well, the person I was with kind of walked away laughing. But anyways, you know, you experience something like that, it can shake you up, shake you up a little bit. Well, notice, I mean, the Apostle Paul is stoned. You know, we get somebody slamming the door in our face and we kind of maybe want to stop. We want to quit. But notice the hardships that the Apostle Paul endured for the sake of Christ. You know, maybe you're at Camp Joy. Maybe you're a dishwasher, and you're just like, "I am tired of all these dishes. You know, when's it going to end?" You're like, "Oh no, 180 campers this week." You know, and instead of rejoicing, you're dreading how many the number of dishes are going to be coming through the dishwasher. Or maybe it's just like, boy, you know, it's primary camp or whatever camp, and you know, you're going to have to be watching, you know, the kids like nonstop, like all throughout the day, babysitting them. And it just, you know, starts to wear on you a little bit. Well, look at what the Apostle Paul went through. You know, and what's interesting is how did the Apostle Paul view what he was facing? Well, if we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And here we see this great, this great list of everything the Apostle Paul was going through. But yet, how did he view the things that he was experiencing? He says in verse 16, he says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." We probably should read verse 15 as well. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Then he says, "For our light affliction." You say, light affliction? He's in prison. He's getting beaten with whips. He's getting beaten with rods. He's getting stoned. He's in shipwrecks. He's in the ocean for a night. Light affliction. Obviously, the Apostle Paul went through, you can come up after the message and correct me if I'm wrong, but he went through more suffering than any of us have ever experienced, and yet he called it what? Light affliction. And then he says, which is but for a what? A moment. And like a while back in the message my dad was preaching is about how the devil wants us to see trials as something that are never going to what? Never going to end. They're just going to keep on. But what is the Apostle Paul? "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, says, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen." You know, the Apostle Paul wasn't focused on these hardships. He was focused on the what? The things that are not seen. Those hardships that he was facing were something that were what? That were temporal in nature. They were going to pass away. He was going to get a new body. All the bruises, all the being left for dead, all the cuts, all the bleeding, all the wounds that he faced were what? Were temporary. He was not looking at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. In the very next chapter, for chapter 5, "For we walk by what? By faith, not by sight." I mean, how was he able to do all these things? He had what? He had God's viewpoint on the hardships that he was enduring as he was in the ministry. What does the devil want us to do? He wants us to view the circumstances we are facing as this huge, insurmountable thing that can never be overcome. And yes, in our own strength, they can't be. But with God's help, it can be overcome. And the Apostle Paul went through great things. He says, thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. All right, so it wasn't just a night. Imagine that, 24 hours in the ocean or out on the sea fighting for your life. You know, maybe he was hanging on to a board, who knows what, but out in the deep, out in the ocean, fighting for his life. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers. And imagine the, you know, I know Mr. Raines has his story of when he faced a robber one time and outside of some store, I think in Milwaukee, and I don't think he had much money on him though, so. but, you know, facing those situations, Mrs. Bird has talked this week about the time where, you know, was it eight men came up and, wanted, you know, I think, didn't they have a gun or wanted to shoot her or something? And anyway, she said, you know, I feel sorry for you guys. You're going to shoot me or I'm going to go to heaven and, you know, you guys are going to end up in prison. And they left her alone and got out of there. But, you know, the Apostle Paul faced these dangers all over the place. But he didn't quit. He kept going. You know, perils, all these different perils. He lists all the different things that he went through. You know, we've got modes of travel. You know, airplanes, you know, buses, trains. All these different things to get us to the places that we need to go to. Well, they didn't have those. They had roads that were, you know, not, you know, we had this great highway system. Well, they had dangerous routes that they had to walk through. Or maybe if you had a horse or something. But they faced grave danger in accomplishing the will of God. And, you know, it really makes much of what we have to face. And obviously some of you may be facing great trials tonight. But as we look at the Apostle Paul, it's like some of the things that we face that we make a big deal about in our lives. You know, maybe it's one air conditioner going out at church. Or maybe it's, you know, something like that. And, you know, our car breaks down. And, you know, boy, I'm just experiencing a great trial in my life. My car broke down. And it could be a great trial in your life, but as we compare it to some of what they had to experience, the things, you know, my car's just not working real well and I'm just not going to be able to get to soul winning tonight. You know, or something along those lines. If the Apostle Paul lived in our day and age and he saw the number of excuses that we make for missing serving God, what would he think? You know, the grave danger that he went through to serve God. And yet, a little thing will happen to us and, can't do it. You know, something happened. You know, I was ready to come to soul winning, but somebody spilled a glass of water and I got all wet. And I'm just not going to be able to come tonight. You know, and we can have the littlest things happen. What's the problem? Well, many times we're looking for an excuse. You know, we're looking for a way out. You know, some of those this week that experienced the joy that they experienced as they served God this week in Vacation Bible School, it's going to be what? It's going to be harder now for the devil to throw something in their pathway to keep them from doing it because they've experienced the joy that comes as they serve God. You know, the Lord's going to throw these, or the devil's going to try to throw these hardships in our life. Sometimes God might put a trial there to what? To build our faith. And we need to respond in the right way. And there were all these different perils that he faced. In weariness, You know, the Apostle Paul was weary. He was tired. He didn't feel like probably going on. He didn't have the strength probably many times to continue on with what God had for him. You know, Mrs. Bird gave a story of C.T. Studd this week. And I believe he was the one, wasn't he, that had was pretty sickly, but yet he still went back and did more missionary travels. You know, there was this, I think he was the one that saw the sign, cannibals want missionaries, and, you know, irked his, it got his interest, and he went, even though I don't think his health was that very strong, and even though the doctor said, you shouldn't be going, but yet he still went anyways. You know, what will stop us from serving God? You know, the place, the ministry is a place, or can be a place of enduring hardships. And here's the Apostle Paul. I mean, he has an inside look here at the ministry. He saw great things accomplished for God, and it was a great place of hardships. But he continued on. You know, in the next chapter, chapter 12, what did God say? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He faced weariness. He faced painfulness. It says, in watchings often. You know, you hear of the night watchman. All right, well, the Apostle Paul had nights where he wasn't what? He wasn't sleeping. And it wasn't just once in a great while. What does he say? In watchings often. There were many times that he lost sleep for the name of Christ. And he continued on. In hunger and thirst. There were times he went without food. There were times that he went without hydration for the name of Christ. You know, how often have we had to miss a meal because of our service to the Lord? I mean, we come to Vacation Bible School, and maybe you were in a rush and you didn't get your breakfast or something, but we come to Vacation Bible School and we get what? We get treats. I mean, we get to serve God, and usually, a lot of times there's food that goes along with it. But the Apostle Paul, there was hunger. There was thirst. He says in fastings often. There was many times he went without meals. Then it says in cold and nakedness. He experienced the cold, but he didn't have what? He didn't have the proper clothing. You know, how many of us have experienced cold without proper clothing because it wasn't our choice? Many times we experience, we walk outside and maybe we aren't dressed properly for the cold, but it's because it's our own choice, not because if it's something that's forced upon us. But here the Apostle Paul experienced even this lack of the proper clothing in inclement weather, and yet he continued to serve God. He experienced pain. He experienced being worn out. So he says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So besides all these things he was facing from the outside, it was also what he was facing from the inside. The Apostle Paul felt the weight of the needs of those around him. And in Galatians, we're reminded in chapter 6, verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And the Apostle Paul was one who bore the burdens of others. He felt their weakness. When somebody was set spiritually back, when somebody was offended, it hurt him. He says, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? And the Apostle Paul is showing his real commitment here to the cause of Christ and exposing, in a sense, the phoniness of those false people that had moved into the church. You know, the question tonight is, and boy, many of these things are very convicting that the Apostle Paul went through. Where is our commitment to Christ tonight? What level of commitment are we exhibiting? Are we giving for the cause of Christ? What can stop us? The most basic, maybe from being faithful to church. You know, what will stop us from having our devotions? Or what will stop us from being a soul winner? What will stop us from having family devotions? You know, what will stop us from making sure our children serve God? What will stop us from being faithful to the Lord? Well, the Apostle Paul experienced many things. And he endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And this evening, God wants us to commit ourselves to Him, recognizing that no matter what hardship we face, His grace is sufficient to carry us through. And there is joy in serving Jesus. I know a lot of this was maybe negative, but you know, there was great positives to the Apostle Paul's life. And as he labored night and day in Thessalonica, what else do we find that the Apostle Paul said about those Thessalonian believers? They were his what? His joy. They were his... And now I'm going to mess up on how I say it. But in the presence of Christ, as he would stand in the presence of Christ, he said that these people... He says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." You know, he labored night and day in Thessalonica, but what happened? There was great joy. And not just temporary joy, but the Apostle Paul here is talking about eternal joy that he would be experiencing for all eternity. You know, the light affliction was but for a moment, but the joy was for all eternity. Which one are you going to focus on tonight? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Lord, may you help us to keep our focus where it ought to be. Lord, may we realize the great joy that can be ours for all eternity as we commit ourselves to following Christ. Lord, how we need your help. It's so easy to focus on those things, Lord, that are but for a moment. When, Lord, you have a far more exceeding eternal and weight of glory for us. Lord, I pray if there's some tonight that have made some foolish decisions that are bringing themselves into bondage, Lord, that you would expose those decisions to them tonight. And Lord, those that are seeking to live for you, Lord, that maybe the trials, maybe the things that they are facing, Lord, that you would give them a newfound perspective. And Lord, that we could learn from this example that the Apostle Paul has given to us. And even greater than that, that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. Lord, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And Lord, we just pray that we would not falter under the attacks, but Lord, that we would look to you. And Lord, we know that faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.